Of course, John, I want to say I love y'all. I thank you for being here. And I'm just excited to be alive this morning. I'm glad I ain't in hospital. Amen. I'm glad I'm not in a psychiatric ward either. I know some of you think I ought to be there, but I'm glad I'm not there. Amen. Amen. Do you know they thought the disciples were crazy, didn't they? They thought Jesus was mad. All righty. We've been preaching on the journey through biblical manhood, to biblical manhood, and I hope and pray that it helped you ladies too. How many of you ladies got any good out of it? I hope. I don't want you to come to church. No, I'm preaching at you ladies too, but anyway, we're preaching on that. And in verse number 14, I want you to look at this thing. It said, verse 14, I have written unto you fathers because you have known him that is from the beginning. I've written unto you young men, there's the second class, because you're strong. And the word of God abideth in you, and you have overcome the wicked one. I'm going to preach on a phrase out of that verse, but I want you to notice in verse 12 through 14, there's three categories of a man's spiritual growth. Little children, young men, and then fathers. Let me tell you something about little children. They don't reproduce. They're not ready to reproduce. They're not ready to bear fruit. But fathers, by the very definition of their name, are people who have borne fruit. What God is wanting you and I to do, Brother Bob, is He's wanting us to move from being little children that are on milk of the Word to being young men who are prepared to be fathers who can bear fruit for the glory of God, lead other people. Paul said, my son in the faith, Timothy. He had led Timothy to Christ. He had borne fruit. And we're not just talking about fruit of good works and stuff like that. We're talking about leading other people to Christ. And this is where God wants to take the men of this church. He wants the men of this church to lead other men to Christ, to influence other people to come to Jesus Christ. Let me tell you why churches die. It's because they quit winning people to Christ. They lose their burden for the Lord. If we're not out here, I know I ought to feed the flock and I try and never do that. You bring them, I'll preach to them, I promise you. But I'll say this to you, your faith will get dead, it'll just get cold, it'll get cankered up if you don't get your eyes and focus back on people. Christ died for people. And I wanted you in this church to get excited. This is where we're moving, from little children, young men, to fathers. But today, we're going to focus on this passage in verse number 14 where it says, young men, about halfway down through, everybody see that, say amen. Amen. Young men, because you're strong. Now, I'm going to preach three messages, or at least two and a half, on this prayer. There's three things he says that young men ought to be if they're going to be biblical men. Not just wimps, but biblical men. He said they've got to be strong. Number two, he said the word of God has to abide in them. And number three, they have to be men who know how to overcome the wicked one. Now, there's three things in there. It says he wants a young man who's growing to biblical manhood to do. He said you need to be strong. Number two, have the word of God abiding in you. Number three, have the wicked one to overcome the wicked one. This morning I want to preach. Probably I'll stop just on the first one about being strong. Lord, I pray now. I pray, God, that you'll fill me afresh and new with the Holy Spirit of God. Lord, I love you. I love your word. I love the Christian life. I love the truths of the Bible. Lord, I'm a train wreck, but yet, Heavenly Father, like the Apostle Paul, chief of sinners, yet, Heavenly Father, by the grace of God, I am what I am. And Lord, today I desire to preach the blessed word of God to these people's hearts. And Holy Spirit, I pray that you'll preach on the inward of their souls and spirits and hearts and minds. Preach where I can't preach. Preach how I can't preach. Bring things to their souls and quicken. By the power of the Holy Spirit, I mean, Lord, quicken, do something with it, Lord, in their hearts and their lives. Lord, I pray today that you pour in the oil and the wine. And I pray, God, today that you'll walk through what we think are clean little pools of our Christian living and stir up the mire and the muck of our depravity that lays on the bottom of our hearts. And show us, Lord, that we need a move of God from heaven. And Lord, do it. Start with me and move through this congregation in power. Lord, we don't have to be like the average church. Lord, I believe in the power of God can move in the church and the families and hearts and lives. I believe we can see wondrous and glorious things of God. I believe we can see people saved that we never dreamed we'd see saved. And Lord, I'm asking you to do it in Jesus' name. Help me to preach, Lord. Amen and amen. Now, again, I'm primarily preaching to those who are saved, those who've been born again in the Spirit of God. And God's commanded us here to be strong. He said, ye are strong. The Bible said in Ephesians chapter 6, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Do you ever think about that? God tells you and I to be strong in the Lord, not in our flesh, not in our intellect, not in our knowledge, not in us, but in Him. Biblical men are strong men. Now, I mean this with all my heart. They are strong men. There are strong men, first of all, spiritually. There are strong men emotionally. There are strong men mentally. The Bible said that He hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of a sound mind. Can I tell you something this morning? There ought not be a man in this church have to take Prozac. There ought not have to be a man in this church that's on some kind antidepressants. I'm going to tell you something. You ought to get on your face, get out in the middle of the woods with God until He does something in your spirit and your soul. He said He hasn't given you the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. God wants you to be strong. He's spiritually, emotionally, mentally, and He wants you to be strong physically. He said, Reggie, how do you know that? Because He wants you to work. Amen. I'll tell you what, we need to be strong men. I'll tell you right now, it wasn't a bunch of wimps come over on the boats. It wasn't a bunch of wimps got in the covered wagons and horses and developed this country and chopped the trees down, forded the rivers and built the bridges. It was strong men. It wasn't a bunch of wimps that built all the churches you see across the country. It was strong men. God wants us to be strong. God does not want us led around by the nose. You ever seen an old bull with a chain around his nose? I mean, you can have you a big old mean bull, but I'm going to tell you one thing. You get a ring in his nose and a chain, that bull will follow you to town. That's the way a lot of men are led by the devil. I mean, they get maybe sometimes by their wives even, but sometimes by their children. But the devil likes to get a ring in our nose and a chain, and he just takes us wherever he wants us to go. That's one of the things I realized before I got saved, that I was not in control of my life. That Satan was really in control. I wasn't doing my own thing. I was literally being led by the devil to do the things and act the way and say the things and live the way I live. And so I want to say, first of all, Dan, you've heard this before. I don't preach again. There's three or four or five different things God wants to be strong in. Number one, God wants you to be strong in spirit. The Bible said about John the Baptist and Jesus Christ both that they were strong in spirit. Let me tell you something. God needs us to be strong. What does it mean to be strong in spirit? First of all, as I said, you've got to be born again of the Spirit, then dwelt by the Spirit of God, a child of God. But to be strong in the Spirit means this, being aware of and sensing God's presence at all times in your life. There is never a place that you're at that God's not there. There's never a word that you said that God didn't hear. There's never a thought that you thought that God does not know. God wants to be strong in the Spirit is aware of the presence of God, living in the fear of the Lord, understanding that I want to live in such a way as pleases the Father and will bring honor and bring glory to Him. Being aware of God's presence. It's also recognizing the promptings of the Holy Spirit of God. But I'll tell you something. Yesterday, I was literally in this church house. A young man came by and Karen and I sitting there and he was very friendly. And I don't know what the prompt, the Holy Ghost said, ask that boy if he's saved. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. When I looked at that boy, Brother Randy, and the way he talked and the way he acted, I said to myself, that boy's probably saved. But the Holy Ghost said, ask him if he's saved. I said, have you ever been saved? And he said, no, I've never been saved. I fell off my chair. That's how important it is. And I talked to him. I said, listen, before you leave this country, if you'll get with me, I'll show you in the Bible. I said, do you realize you're a heartbeat away from hell? You see, being prompt to be mighty in spirit means that you're listening to the voice of God when He's dealing with you. The Holy Ghost of God is constantly going to prompt you. He may prompt you to say a kind word to somebody. He may prompt you to encourage somebody along the way. He may prompt you to take a pie and give it to some neighbor. He may prompt you to ask somebody out to dinner. He may prompt you to write a letter to somebody. But you need to be sensitive to the promptings of the Holy Ghost of God in your life. To be strong in spirit. It also means to be alert to spiritual danger. But I want to tell you something. We need men who are alert to spiritual danger. You're not just donkeying around and not realizing who your son's running around with, who your daughter's running around with, what's going on in your family, what's going on in life. You can't just be out here listening to KTTS and bop, bop, bopping down the road. You have to be alert to spiritual danger that may be tearing your home apart. You may think things are great today, but there's spiritual danger lurking. You need to be aware of that. You need to understand that being filled with the Spirit, being mighty in the Spirit means that you understand the deeper things of God. That it's not just the milk of the Word anymore, it's the meat of the Word, and that you're reading the Bible, you're getting in the Word of God, and you understand. And when you're reading, the Holy Ghost is able to lift out the Lord Jesus Christ and the great principles and great doctrines of the Bible. Being filled with the Spirit, being mighty with the Spirit also means that you know and live in truth. That you despise a lie. You despise a lie. And you're able to discern false philosophies and deception. A man that is a spiritual man, a man that has grown up in the Lord, needs to live and know the truth. So he's able to discern the false philosophies and deception. I was thrilled to hear Brother Joel talk about dealing with that Jehovah Witness. The average church member in America cannot even deal. He can't deal with a Jehovah Witness. He can't deal with a Mormon. He doesn't know what to say to their false doctrines. Bless God Almighty, Joel. I appreciated that. And I'll say something further, Donnie. This deal about man, that's where all the cults, what you're teaching this morning, that's why people develop cults. They do not believe that he's God and man. They just can't wrap their heads around it. Hey, I can't wrap my head around it either, but I sure do believe it, amen. And the Bible says he was weary, and the Bible said he went to sleep, and the Bible said he thirsted, and the Bible said he hungered, and bless God he is. And we need to understand that, and that's why it's important to be here in Bible class, because some of you are going to, we're going to knock on your door, and you're going to sputter like an arc light and say nothing, and then he's going to plant seeds of doubt in your mind, because you were not grown up spiritually, you'll get taken down. I'm talking about knowing and living in truth. Not only that, but a man who's mighty in spirit knows Christ himself. He doesn't know just about Jesus Christ. Well, let me tell you this much. As I get older, I don't want to know more Bible. I want to know more Jesus. Amen. What I need to do is catch up to my Bible, my knowledge of Him. Personal knowledge of Him needs to catch up with my knowledge about the Bible. I'll tell you what, we can have all kinds of knowledge about the Bible and really not know much about Jesus Christ. I want to be like that song says, I want to walk with Him and I want to talk with Him. And I want to enjoy my fellowship and I want to get up in the morning talking to Jesus and go to bed at night talking to Jesus. I want to lay my head on my pillow talking to the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to drive down the road talking to God. I'll tell you something, I want to get out of my truck talking to Jesus before I meet that person. I want to know Christ. I want to walk with Him and talk with Him. And to be that, we have to be spiritual men. I'll tell you, be a mighty in spirit means that we're obedient to the Word of God. And we learn the Bible truth. We submit ourselves to it, surrender to it, and don't argue with God about it. Amen. Got a good obedient spirit. If that's a Bible, bless God, I'm going to do it. Be surrendered and cheerfully to the will and the Word of God. So number one, if you're writing this down, to be a young man who is strong, you're going to have to be strong in spirit. You have to be strong in spirit. By the way, people can tell whether you're weak or a dog can tell whether you're strong in spirit. A dog can tell whether you're strong in spirit. You walk up to a dog in the yard, he can tell whether you're afraid of him or whether you're not afraid of him. Talking to a man this week, and me and Zach and Isaac had a nice visit. I really enjoyed the visit. Don't agree about everything, but he made a statement. He said, I ain't afraid of nobody. And he told about some things that happened in his life that caused that. He's afraid of God, but not afraid of people. And I'll tell you something. Listen, God uses, as we said in Sunday school this morning, these things to get us there. Number two, you need to be strong in faith. Strong in faith. Fellas, if we're going to be a biblical man, we've got to be strong in faith. Romans chapter 4 talks about Abraham. The Bible said, who staggered not at the promises of God, but was strong in faith. He was strong in faith. You say, Reggie, how are we going to get... Paul told Timothy, thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise. First of all, if you're going to be strong in faith, you're going to have to know the Bible. Can I tell you something? You're going to have to lay some other books down. A man this week offered me a book, and I'm sure it might have been a nice book. I don't know anything about it. I think I heard about it a little bit. Really didn't want to read it. And the second thing was, I probably wouldn't read it. And if I took it, he'd never get it back. How many knows not to loan me books? Okay, don't loan me books. But I'm going to tell you something. The older I get, the less books I want. I'll tell you something, went in there the other day, Susanna, she cleaned my study out and she got all my books nice and mixed up. And boy, I tell you what, I got in the flesh and had to apologize to her. But Susanna today's got books he ain't reading, doesn't he? Packed in there, can't get another book in the library. I'm going to tell you something, I need to be reading this book. And I'm saying this, do you know the Bible? Are you reading the Bible? You got to know the Word of God. Let me tell you something, man, there's no substitute for it. You can't come in here on Sunday morning, listen to me preach and ever be strong in the Lord. I mean, it may help you, but it will not make you strong in the faith. You're going to have to read your Bible yourself. Do you have a Bible reading program? Do you know where you're at and where you're going to and what you're reading about? Do you know the Bible? Secondly of all, to be strong in faith, you're going to have to believe God against all odds in every issue of life. As I said to Abraham in Romans 4, he was 99 years old and God had promised him a child, and that child hadn't come yet, and both he and Sarah were past childbearing age, and yet, the Bible said, he staggered not at the promise of God, that being strong in faith, believed that what God had said he would do, he would do. And you're going to have to get there in your own height. Strong in faith. I'm going to tell you something. Either God will do it or he's a liar. God will do what he says or he's a liar, and he's not a liar. Amen. So be strong in faith. He staggered not. Thirdly, if you're going to be strong in faith, you're going to have to trust God when it seems impossible. You're going to have to trust God. I'm going to say, Job said, yea, though he slay me, yet will I serve him. You're going to have to get there. You're going to say, Lord, I don't know how we're going to make it out of this mess. I don't know how we're going to make it through this mess. But God, I still trust you, and I know that you said you'd never leave me nor forsake me. I'm going to believe that, and I ain't going to let the devil tell me otherwise. You're going to have to trust God about it. And then fourthly, you're going to have to act on it. Noah didn't just sit around and say, I think I'll build a boat. I think I'll build a boat. You know, we ought to build a boat, honey. We ought to build a boat. I'll tell you, most people talk the whole lives, and they sit around fantasy world the most of their lives sitting acting on the Word of God. The Bible said that Noah, being moved by faith, moved with fear, built an ark to the saving of his house. There's times in life you're going to have to, you're going to be strong in faith. You're going to have to move on it. You're going to have to act on what you hear. Are you listening to me? You're going to have to act on what you hear. You can't just go home and say, that'd be a good thing to do. I believe that's pretty good what Reggie preached this morning. If it's the Word of God, you better act on it. Number three, not only to be a strong spiritual man, you need to be strong in spirit, be strong in faith, but you need to be strong in grace. Strong in grace. Now, I cannot overemphasize this. I would say that in this particular congregation of people, we have a pretty good emphasis on being strong in spirit. We have a pretty good emphasis on, maybe an even heavier emphasis on being strong in faith. But we do not have an emphasis on being strong in grace. And that'll get us. The Bible said, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Now listen to me carefully. To get grace, to ever be strong in grace. And by the way, we can't do anything in the Christian realm without grace. We are saved by grace. We live by grace. All of God's work is by grace. Okay? We cannot get grace without humility. We cannot get grace. We will never be strong in grace until we are humble people. And I want to challenge this congregation this morning, every single last one of us, to bow our hearts before the Lord, even while I'm preaching, and say, my God, my Lord, enable me to humble myself. He resists the proud, but He gives grace to one single class of people in the world, and that's those who are humble. We must humble ourselves. We must get low before the Lord. We must get rid of our pride. We must get rid of our arrogance. We must get rid of what we think we are and who we are and all the this, that, and the other. And we have to get humble. There, let me say something. I'm your pastor. I love you. I have my own struggles. Do you know when I struggle the most? It's not about being strong in spirit. It's not about being strong in faith. It's about getting humble so I can get the grace of God to live what I preach. And the reason I can't live what I preach and the reason you don't live what I preach is because we're not humbling ourselves and getting the grace of God to do it because we can't do it in our own power. And this is stuff you already know. I know you know this and you know I know this. But bless God, we need to be reminded of it every Sunday morning nearly. We need to be. Humility is an absolute to be strong in grace. James 4:16, He resisteth the proud but giveth grace unto the humble. God's grace will give. Then what happens is this. Let me tell you something. I do not know how man could serve God without grace. Paul said, I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God in me. He said, by the grace of God, I am what I am. I do not know how anybody can serve God without just absolutely getting on their face and begging God to pour grace into their soul. Because I want to tell you something, the natural man has no desire nor the power to serve God and he obey God in the very least of issues. God's grace will give you the desire and power to serve Him. You say, I'd like to serve God. Humble yourself and get grace. You say, I'd like to obey the Lord. Humble yourself and get grace to obey God. You say, I'd like to live right. Humble yourself and God will give you grace to live right. You say, I'd like to conquer my flesh. Humble yourself and God will give you grace to conquer the flesh. You say, I'd like to love my enemies. Humble yourself and God will give you grace to love your enemies. You say, I'd like to endure temptations and have victory over temptations and persecutions and hardships and storms and the trials of life. Get grace. Humble yourself and get grace and God will take you through those and give you victory in the midst of it. Grace is, I'm so glad it's free. The fellow we was visiting with this week, he brought up the subject of those people who believe in once in grace, always in grace. You know, have you ever noticed they always say once in grace, always in grace, or once in Greece, always in Greece. That's their terminology. Yeah. But they never say, I don't believe in eternal life. Right. You ever notice that? Somebody believes they lose your salvation. Never. That damnable doctrine of eternal life. They don't say that. You know why they don't say that? Because they know better. Their own heart is convicting them while they're mouthing. But they'll say that damnable doctrine once and grace, always and grace, go out there and live anyway, want to and go to heaven, that's out of hell. First of all, that's not the doctrine of grace. I want to tell you right now, if you ever get a good old-fashioned Holy Ghost Bible dose of grace, it will put you on your face. It will make you fall in love with God like you never fell in love with Him. Make you wonder that He ever saved a wretch like me and you. Amen. That's why John Newton wrote, "Amazing Grace that saved a wretch like me." He didn't write that song standing up there in a pulpit and acting like he was some spiritual somebody. Let me tell you about John Newton. He got so drunk and so vile one time, they threw him off the ship. And he was down, and they threw out a rope with a harpoon hook, hooked him in the thigh right here, and pulled him back in the ship. That man almost went drowned and went to hell drunk over the side of the boat. And he knew it was God's grace that he wasn't in hell. He didn't have nothing to brag on. And the day God will explode revival in your heart and revival in this church and in our families is the day that we get back on our faces and say, "God, I wasn't nothing when you found me. I was just worthy of hell. God, please pour your spirit into my heart. Lord, give me the grace of God." That's what we need. Can I tell you, we don't need more money? Well, you say, "Reggie, you don't know." Well, maybe you don't know about me either. But you know, really, if money could fix your problem, you ain't got one. What I need is more grace. You know what we need? We need grace for poverty. And we need grace for wealth. Because both can be dangerous to you. That's why the man in Proverbs said, you know, neither one, just Lord, where I've got what I need. I'm saying this to you, God's grace, it's free, it's unmerited, it's unearned, it's undeserved. Grace gives God the glory in our lives. You see, when we're full of grace, when we're strong in grace, God's getting the glory and not us. But when it's works and we think it's religion, then it's us getting the glory instead of God. And He'll pull His grace back from us. And then grace makes us decrease and makes Him increase. And grace enables us to joyfully serve. I want to tell you something. You say, "Reggie, how can you get up behind the pulpit week after week and keep smiling and keep going?" It's just the grace of God. It's just the grace of God. You say, "Reggie, how do you get that?" Just go out somewhere, walk out in the woods, get on the people. We'll go out there and get on the ground and say, "God, I'm still nothing. I'm still nothing. I'm still nothing but a wretch. Lord, I'm wicked as hell apart from Jesus Christ's righteousness. But, oh God, this morning I'm asking you for your grace." And God will do that. Let me say something about grace. Grace is not a license to sin either. Grace will drive you to holiness. Old C.H. Spurgeon said, "Grace is the mother of holiness, not the excuser of sin." See, if you don't know what grace does, if you think grace is just giving you an excuse, you don't even have a clue what grace is. Grace will give you, number one, the desire to serve God. And grace will give you the power to do what you thought you could never do. That's what happened this morning. Can I tell you something? You see, it took a little grace to stand up, Paul, and go and say, I'll ask three people. But the second they stood, I promise you, God, that standing was their humility, and God gave them grace to do it. And He'll give that to you, too. Grace is not God's indulgence in our sin, nor, watch this, grace is not the removal of temporal consequences from my past. Did you know what I sowed, I'm still reaping? And you're going to reap temporal things, and grace doesn't take that away. And grace is not a license to sin, but the power to serve God. And let me say fourthly today, if we're going to be strong men, we need to be strong in purpose. Amen. We need to have a reason. You know what David said when he got down there to Goliath band, you're giving that devotion this morning? He said, you know one of the biggest statements ever was in the Bible? He said, "Is there not a cause?" Do you know what's wrong with America? No cause. We've lost our purpose. We don't even know why we're doing what we're doing. Some of you don't even know why you go to work. Do you know what? There are men and women across America who are driving to work and devils working on them day after day. They don't even know why I'm going to work. I had a man tell me this. Listen to this. A man told me this week, stood eyeball to eyeball to me, one of the wealthiest landowners in the state of Missouri. Zach, he owns thousands and thousands of acres, doesn't he? I mean, there's probably no telling how many thousands and thousands. One of the biggest landowners in Missouri. You know what he said to me? I said, "What are you doing here?" "Frankie is working in a warehouse." "Working in a warehouse." I said, "What are you doing here?" "Donnie, he knows you." He said, "Pete, tell you hi. I'll tell you about him later. He's asking me about you. He said, you tried to buy a racetrack off him one time. You know who I'm talking about now. He's working in a warehouse." He said to me one morning, he said, "Reggie, you know," he said, "I started 40 years ago." And he said, "God bless me, up one side and down the other." He said, "Reggie, in 40 years, I never asked anybody for their business. They all came to me."
He's in the logging business. He said, people come to me. I never one time asked anybody to buy their timber. He said, they all came to me. He said, if you treat people right, they'll come to you. You don't have to go beat the bushes for them. And he said, Reggie, one morning, he said, we had all this land and all this cattle and all this stuff and stuff and stuff and stuff and stuff. And he said, one morning, my wife woke up and she looked over and she says, honey, what are we doing? Why do we have all this stuff? Why are you beating yourself to death every day? Why are we doing what we're doing? What does it amount to? And he said, Reggie, I just said, you know, honey, I don't really know. But I think I'm going to quit today and start enjoying life. And he talked about the Lord. He is so grateful. He's so humble. He's a very, very humble acting guy. I mean, just humble acting guy. He's just so grateful for the life God's given him. And I'm saying to you this morning, listen, but we've got to have a purpose. We've got to have a reason for getting it. What I'm saying is he looked over and all of a sudden all that stuff didn't have a purpose any longer. You can drive to work tomorrow, and I don't tell you what you can think. What am I driving to work for? What am I doing? This is why the Bible said if you don't do everything you're doing to the glory of God, it will become vanity to you, and I don't care what you're doing. I mean, you can make $50 an hour next week, but pretty soon if you don't do it for the glory of God, it will become mundane and dry and dull to you, and you will even wonder what you're doing. Why am I doing this? And you'll look back at the end of the road and say, what was I doing with my life? And every person, every single solitary person in this building, you better ask yourself this morning, if you want to become a biblical man, why am I living and why am I doing what am I doing? Because if it's not for the glory of God, in the end, it will drain out, I mean, like a dry drain. I mean, it will go dry like an old summertime pond on you. And you'll wonder, what am I doing? Why am I doing it? Strong in purpose. David said, is there not a cause? Let me tell you something. Our cause, first of all, ought to be the cause of our Lord Jesus Christ. We were created for His glory and for His honor. And the glory of God ought to be the very purpose and reason we're coming to church living our life. You know, and there's something that's the value of a soul, the value of a life. You know why we're going out Wednesday night? Because there are people sitting in houses in Norwood right now who are watching ball games and watching races and all that junk is going on TV. And they're going to die and go to hell if somebody doesn't reach them. We better understand the value of a purpose, the value of a life, and have a purpose. If you want to be strong in purpose, you know who accomplishes stuff in life? People who are strong in purpose. Do you know who tore down slavery in America? People who would not give up. People who just hung on like tenaciously said, it's not right, it's not right, it's not right, it's not right, it's not right. And they kept saying it when people didn't want to hear it anymore. But they had a purpose. And I want to tell you something. I've got a purpose. I'm telling you what, it's just serving God. You know, my life revolves around my family, my church, work, and so forth, you know. And somebody's talking to me this week about a ministry. I said, you know what? What you're doing right now is your ministry. If you won't make what you're doing right now your ministry, God will never give you a ministry. Amen. Why should God open up doors for you when you won't open the doors that He put, when you won't walk through the doors He's giving you right now? When you meet a person this week and you won't talk to them about their soul or invite them to church, why should He open up anything else? I'm just saying be strong in purpose. You know what? Our families are a great purpose. Amen? I'll tell you what, we ought to live for God. We ought to have to be strong in purpose. I'll tell you what, I'm saying this to you, strong to conquer the flesh. The next thing is be strong to conquer the flesh. I'll try to do this real quick. The Bible said in Galatians 5, the flesh lusteth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. Two are contrary, one to the other, so that you cannot do things that you would. How many here has fight the flesh? The rest of you is lying. You are, but I said you do. Boy, I'm going to tell you something. Oh, flesh, sorry, ain't it? Let me tell you how to be strong. You said, Reggie, you told us we ought to be strong. How can we be strong? Number one, if you want to write it down, pray. You don't be strong, like that passage of Scripture says, you don't be strong, you learn to pray. I want to tell you right now, not me and not you can do the work of God without prayer. We need to pray about everything, in everything, about everything, on everything. We need to constantly pray. This man that Zach and I was talking to, he's talking about his little boy. He said, Reggie, he prays about, what did he say, Zach? Everything. He said, I mean, Reggie, he said, my little boy, he prays about everything, everywhere, all the time. Parking spots, you know, and everything. Learn to pray about everything. But you're never going to be strong in the Lord unless we learn to pray. Probably the weakest areas of my life is prayer. Matthew 26:41 says, watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Isaiah 40:31 says that they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their what? Strength. If you want to be strong in the Lord, you learn how to pray. You just don't have to learn how to pray. You just start praying. Somebody says, teach us to pray. Well, just start praying. You learn how to pray by praying. Jesus prayed, and the Bible said he was strengthened. When he was headed to the cross, he was strengthened. I remember when I first started preaching, going through one of the very first big trials I ever had. I never had such pressure on my life. I couldn't dream that anything could come on you so like that in my life. And I said this, in fact, we was talking about that with this man this week. He said, I went up there above the house where Van lives, got up there in the woods and got straight on my, flat on the ground in those leaves and began to pray and cry out to God. I didn't know what I was into and didn't know how to handle what I was up to. And I prayed and I prayed and I prayed till I didn't know how to pray no more. And I remember just laying there, Lord, I don't know how to pray anymore. I can't pray anymore. And I just said to myself, I'll just get up and go to the house, I guess. But I tell you, I never will forget in my life. The reason I say this, the guy was talking about an experience that they had, and a spiritual experience. And I got down about that little gate that was right there at the garden. And just as I reached for that gate, it was just like the glory of God came down in my life. And I literally mean to tell you, it was like angels were all around me. And like the Lord said, Reggie, I've got you covered every way you can think about. You just go. You just keep preaching. You keep standing for what's right. And I'm telling you what, since that day, I ain't been scared of nobody. I'm just being honest with you. I just know that God is all powerful. And we talked about Goliath this morning. Who's Goliath compared to God? I mean, who are your enemies? Who is your enemies compared to God? What are your trials and burdens and pressures compared to God? They're nothing. And so I want to encourage you that today. Listen, there's pressure, and God uses pressure to drive you to prayer, and that prayer will take you to power. Then there's the next thing. Not only pray, but again, get in the Word of God. Jesus said, the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. You need life into you for power and for strength. Hebrews says the Word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. Use the Word of God. Jesus used the Word of God when he was tempted in the wilderness temptation. And now I'm going to get on one right. If you want to be a strong man this morning, if you want to be strong in the Lord, the Bible says you need to learn how to sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. They will strengthen you in the Spirit. Amen. That's why a bunch of you backsliders need to get up here on Sunday morning, get out of your low down seat. That thing's got the impression of your rear end on it already too much. Get out of that thing. Sing. Amen. I'm going to tell you something. Listen, this crowd that don't sing, you want to let a church die? I'll tell you what I'll do. Hey, you know what you ought to do? Listen, I'm going to tell you something. I already have them in place. You don't know where they're at. I have cameras filming you while I'm preaching. We're going to watch him one of these Sundays. I'm going to do special clips. You won't believe what you see. You will repent. I mean, hey, listen, they're on you right now. Oh, some of you is getting more spiritual looking already. Yeah, some of you shaped up real good right now. God's cameras are on you. But I am going to do that. Seriously, we're going to have a big picnic in here. I'm going to show you clips of yourselves. You know, yeah, we're up here singing, and some of you are going. And you know what? I watch some of you look over at other people. Hey, you want to be strong in the Lord? You need to learn how to sing. Amen. I'm not talking. Hey, aren't you glad it didn't say with your voice, making melody in your heart? I'm glad for that. I'm saying this to you. Ephesians 5:18. Watch this. It says, be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. First thing. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns, spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. One of the greatest evidences and power of being walking with God and being strong is singing to the Lord. Let me tell you something. It's hard to whoop a guy who's singing while he's swinging at you. Why do they have marching bands with the armies? Isn't that right? Who wants to go to war in a funeral dirge? Flags flying, singing out. Bless God Almighty, got a song in your heart. You want to be a spiritual man, you get a song in your heart. You may croak like a bullfrog, but put that song in your heart. Amen? Listen, I'm up here this morning, now all them songs Van kicks out, there's certain parts of them songs where I can get in the normal, then all of a sudden I have to drop a whole octave. My voice, it just ain't what it used to be. I can't get high and I can't get low. It's got to stay right in there somewhere. So I just shift gears, amen. I'm going up the hill. I'm just talking about, there'll be people that sing. How many of you like to go to church that just don't sing? I mean, they don't sing. But do you know why a lot of people have left good old-fashioned Bible-believing churches to go to some weird old floppy nightclub church? Because they sing.
The devil knows that you need it.
Amen.
He knows you need it. And I'll tell you something, when Van jumps up here on Sunday mornings, you ought to grab you a hymn book, head up there, say, scoot over, I've come to sing and worship God.
Amen.
If you ain't going to do that, you're going to sit out there. Don't be caught on camera, not singing. I'm serious with you. And can I say to you, not just here in church. Hey, sing at the house, sing in the car. Sing at the kitchen table. I don't care. Sing driving down the road. I'm going to tell you something. It's hard to stop a man who's praising. That's the next thing I want to tell you about that is praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. You know, I get worried about Bob. He acts depressed all the time. How many of you here think that Bob has a problem with depression? Can I tell you, does anybody think he really needs antidepressants? Does anybody think Frankie needs antidepressants? I'm going to tell you something. Do you know what? Will you give me a man that knows how to praise the Lord, and I'll show you a man who don't need Prozac. Yes, sir. And I'll tell you guys right now, you know what some of you men really believe? You really believe it's not real manly to, you know, say amen. Some of you boys are scared to death. You think that pretty little girl sitting over there, no, oh! She might not think I'm a man if I praise the Lord. You little wimp. If you're worried about her now and you ain't even married to her, what's she going to do to you when you marry her? Woo! She's already ruling your life. Amen. I'm trying to get some men out of this place who know how to praise the Lord. Bless God. Some of you boys flag your hand up and look up to heaven and say, God, I thank you for saving me. Oh, you ain't looking. You ain't here to worship. You're worried about what the girls think about you being too spiritual.
Yeah.
I've already told Mrs. What's your name? The Eichelberg ring. I always have trouble remembering that name. I told her, I said, I'm going to be preaching this morning. I don't want you hollering too loud and shouting too loud. Oh, I know some of you kids. I come to that volleyball game the other night. Ah! Somebody looked over and said, well, Reggie, wouldn't you like to see these folks get excited on Sunday morning? I said, it'd be real nice.
Yeah.
I mean, some of you get so wound up down there. I mean, it's just, boy, you know, I'd like to see some of you have a huddle one time come out and going, go, go, go.
Yeah.
You say, what are you talking about? I'm talking about the truth about us is, that we're a people who have been weakened because we don't know how to praise. And we won't sing. And we won't have a song in our heart. And we're singing a funeral song all of our lives. I'm sick of it.
Yeah.
Amen. You say, Reggie, I'm going to be strong. Give me one more thing. Denying the flesh. Can I tell you what the Bible says about all the world? Will tell you need to have self-esteem. And your TV preachers, you know. You need to increase yourself this and yourself that and yourself this and yourself that. Can I tell you what the Bible says you ought to do with yourself? Crucify it. And deny it. When's the last time? I want you to think with me just, when's the last time you heard a good old-fashioned Bible message on self-denial? You don't need, I mean, that is the last thing they're preaching over TV nowadays. You ought to go out there and deny yourself. You say, Reggie, you don't be strong in spirit? Let me give you something fast. Deny your flesh. Fast. I ain't going to stay parked here very long, but I'm going to tell you something. You want to get strong in God fast. Do without food. Pray every time your belly growls. Pray every time your body says, I want food. Use that as a signal to start praying to God. I'll tell you what God will say. You start doing that every week of your life. I'll tell you what God will change your life. And you'll see answer to prayer that other people will never, ever see. Jesus told his disciples, this kind cometh forth, but by nothing, you'll never get it except by prayer and fasting. Fast. You got a loved one? I want to ask you something. You got a loved one dying and going to hell and you say you really care? Have you fasted 3 days for them yet in your life? Oh, we'll jump up on Wednesday night saying, pray for my loved one. They're dying and going to hell and I'm showing you I'm spiritual. I'm saving they're not. I hope that don't sound too mocking, but sometimes that's about how it sounds. Make a big spiel about our lost people. Make ourselves look good. But I ask you this. I don't care how much you talk about it in church. I want to know, have you ever fasted? I like the old preacher one time. When a lady came up to the altar and said, she was up there, you know, and what'd you come up here for, man? I said, oh, I want you to pray. You know, just hoping he'd come over. And boy, she started making this big spiel about her lost husband.
And he said, I never said this to anybody before in my life. And he said, all of a sudden, like the Holy Spirit prompted me to ask her a question. He said, ma'am, have you ever prayed all night for your husband yet? And she said, well, no. And he said, ma'am, my suggestion to you is you go back to your seat until you've prayed all night for your husband. Don't be coming up here and asking everybody else to pray for your husband. And she said she got mad. Went and talked to the pastor about this evangelist, treating her so sorry. I'm a member of this church. Now I tell you what made me feel. He was so humiliated me. She said she got on the way home and said the Holy Ghost spoke to her and said it's just the truth. That's why he got mad. It's the truth. She started, got on her knees in his chair. He worked on a railroad, slept in those railroad cars. He's gone on a railroad trip, working the railroad. 3 o'clock in the morning, he wakes up, woke the foreman up and said, something wrong with my house. I got to go home. His foreman let him go home. And when he pulled in the driveway, they said the sun was coming up, just peeking up over the hill. He said, I jumped out of my car, run up there and got in that house. And he said, my wife's sobbing over in that chair. He said, I run over to her and I said, honey, what in the world is wrong? I said, I knew something was wrong. She turned around, threw her arms around his neck, said, honey, I've badgered you for years about being saved. And I said, I've never prayed for you all night. And said, God broke me down tonight about it. And God woke him up at a railroad sleeping car and drove him home. And he got saved beside her, beside that chair. You listen to me tonight, fasting and prayer and getting real with God will change things. I said this morning, God gave me a picture. God gave me a picture of my heart. You listen to me good this morning. This wasn't pretty. Brother Quinn, God showed me my heart. Here's what he said. He said, Red, you're like walking up to a little spring pool out in the woods, 8 or 10 feet around. Water coming in it, spring water. Looks real nice and clear. But he said, Reggie, when I walk into your soul, he said, the reason you don't want me walking into your soul is because I stir up the muck and the mire that's laying in the bottom of your heart. He said, when I walk through your heart, it ain't near as pretty in that spring. He said, that junk comes up and boils up like that. And he said, that's why you don't want me walking through your heart. Are you like that this morning? You like a little pool out there? It looks pretty good. People walk in. Oh, that's a nice, prettiest little clear stream. Oh, that's a pretty little heart. And oh, they're such nice, nice Christian people. But we don't want Jesus walking through the heart and stirring up the muck and the mire that's at the bottom of our depraved souls. We'd hate to see him stir up our, and all of a sudden it wouldn't be that little clear pool everybody thinks from. You see, God every once in a while has to wash us out this morning. I need to close. I think you're all tired of me to get to preach this morning, but I'm going to say this. You'll never be strong in the Lord until you deny the flesh. As long as you make provision for the flesh, you will never. I don't know about you. Maybe I shouldn't say you. I'm going to tell you, I cannot be strong in the Lord and make provision for the flesh. I can't be strong in the Lord and be watching Hollywood all the time. I can't be strong in the Lord and listen to country western and all that kind of junk music all the time. I can't be watching TV and be strong in the Lord. I can't have worldly music and worldly dress and worldly entertainment permeating my life and be strong in the Lord. I can't be around a filthy website and be strong in the Lord. I can't have carnal friends hanging around me all the time and be strong in the Lord. I'm just saying this, that we need to be strong in the Lord. And God give us some biblical men who are strong today. I close saying this. There was a man in the Bible who was very, very strong. Are you listening to me? And his name was Samson. He was strong. But the devil took him down. And his flesh took him down. I close in saying this little list this morning. You're going to, and God gave me this just before I come to church, and it just feels like it just poured it in my heart to me. Maybe it'll do you some good. So, Reggie, you're going to have to be strong, Reggie. You're going to have to, number one, not let bitterness rule your life. Men, we cannot be bitter men and be strong in the Lord. Number two, Reggie, in order to be strong, you're going to have to keep yourself morally clean and morally pure. Number three, you're going to have to be strong. You're going to have to keep your marriage together. Number four, you're going to have to keep the world and the devil from getting your children. We're going to have to be strong to keep the world from getting our children. We're going to have to be strong to keep from getting proud and cocky and arrogant and looking down on other people. We're going to have to be strong to forgive those who has trespassed against us. It takes strength to forgive people. Amen? Wimps can't do it. It takes strong men to forgive people. We're going to have the strength of God to love our enemies. We're going to have to be strong, like the Bible said there, not to allow depression and discouragement to overcome us. We're going to have to be strong to keep ourselves from the wolves and the false doctrines of this world. We're going to have to be strong to keep from quitting. We're going to have to be strong to humble ourselves. It takes some strength from the glory world to humble ourselves. We're going to have to be strong. Let me tell you where some strength comes. Where you're going to have to be strong. When you know in your heart you need to ask somebody to forgive you, but you will not do it. You are proving to yourself that you are not strong in the Lord. Old John wrote to those people in that epistle, and he said, young men, I rejoice in you because you're strong. We're going to have to be strong to confess our sins and admit when we've sinned and done wrong. It takes strength to be honest and not deceive our own hearts. It takes strength to keep from allowing Satan to poison us about everybody and everything in our families, our churches, our friendships, our workplaces. Let me tell you something. If you're not careful, Satan will just poison you about everybody. You walk in this church and there's nobody any good if you're not careful. I've seen it happen to people. And it just, it's like a drip. And pretty soon, all they can see is the bad in anybody. Did you know something? If I choose to this morning, Ralph, all I could see is the bad in every one of you. And if you so chose to, all you could see is what you know is no good in my life. It takes strength to see in people what God sees, the potential, and to love them in spite of who they are. It takes strength to just keep on loving when you feel like hating. It takes strength to be kind when you feel like being harsh. It takes strength to be long-suffering when you want to say, I'm done with it. It takes strength to be gentle when you'd like to knock their teeth down their throat. It takes strength. And strength. Brother Terry, I don't know any place to get it but from Him. Because I don't have it. I'm just like the little song says, I am weak, but He is strong. That's why the Bible said, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. I want us to bow our heads quickly. Quickly. Does anybody here today say, Brother Reggie, I want to be strong in the Lord. God has spoken to my heart. I need to talk to God a little bit today. Would you want to slip out of your seat right now? No push, no shove. But, oh, I tell you, Reggie, I need the strength to forgive. I need strength to ask forgiveness. I need strength to be kind. I need strength to be gentle. I need strength to serve the Lord. Would you come this morning just quickly? I don't want to twist or nobody, but I just want you at least to be able to do business with the Lord. I need strength to ask somebody. I need strength to talk to somebody about the Lord. I need strength to ask somebody to come to church. I need strength to stay on my knees and keep praying. I need strength to keep leading my family. I need strength for the job that I'm doing. I need strength from the Lord. He said, be strong, be strong, be strong. You know something? I'm watching right here. And I'll tell you what there is. There's about 7 or 8, 10 men that has come forward. And I'm so grateful to see men of this church coming. Ask, you know what these men are going to get today? They're going to get strength from God. That's what they're going to get. Because He said, ask and you shall receive. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened. They're going to get it because God says, He said, what's everything? He said, if you ask according to my will, He said, I'll give it to you. Anybody else want to come? I want strength. I want strength to be the husband I ought to be. I want strength to be the daddy I need to be. Strength. Oh, God. Strengthen me. Oh, God. Strengthen me. God, give me the strength to be a Christian. I'm telling you right now this morning, I cannot be a Christian in my own strength. I can't act like a Christian, live like a Christian in my own strength. I have fallen so many times it makes me sick. But I know something. There's power in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's power in obedience. There's power in God. He didn't say be strength in your own self. He said be strength, be strong in the Lord in the power of His might. Men, I'm kneeling with you now. And Lord, we just come before you now and just kneel before you in the precious and almighty name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And God, we acknowledge to you and I acknowledge you, Lord, I'm weak. Lord, I remember what old Samson said. He said, he told Delilah, messing around there, Lord, he said, you do this and I'll be weak as other men. And Lord, that's true about us. If we're shorn of the power of God, we'll be weak as other men. We'll be led around like the devil that leads people in doing anything. But Lord, this morning we come for strength. We come to be strong. Well, we want to be strong in spirit. We want to be strong in faith. We want to be strong in grace. We want to be strong in purpose. We want to be strong in praise and in worship of God. And Lord, we want to be strong by denying the flesh. And so, Lord, we pray today that you'd help us, oh God, to discipline ourselves. But yet, Heavenly Father, all the discipline in the world won't do it unless you pour out your spirit upon us. So, Lord, we come before you this morning as the man laying on the road to Jericho, and pray, God, that you would come to where we are, and that through the wounds of our broken and failed life, that you would pour in wine and oil, and that you would fill us with your spirit today. and that you would make us men who are strong in the Lord. God, I pray, oh Father, please hear our prayer. And we're going to thank you, Lord, for answered prayer. For God, you don't say these things to tease us and aggravate us and play games with our souls. Lord, you say these things to mean it and to work it into our hearts and our lives. And so, Lord, I pray, God, oh God, walk through the waters of our soul. Stir up the muck and the mire that we may see ourselves for what's in us. Lord, there's so many things laying down at the bottom we don't want anybody to ever see. But God, stir it up and wash it out. Give us a flood of revival from heaven. Lord, wash us with the water of the Word, with the Spirit of God. And bless this congregation, each home and each family. Lead us in thy ways, Lord. Don't let us get by with sin. Help us to judge ourselves so that we'll not be judged. Help us to confess our sins, Lord, and live close to the throne. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen.